Hello, good morning, good afternoon. This is Glenn Krause with another fine podcast from CoreCDI. I had the privilege of talking to Angela Franceschi out there in California. She's a well-seasoned revenue cycle subject matter expert professional with over 25 years of experience in the revenue cycle. She's a nurse by trade, and she's right now is the National Director of CDI and Coding for CommonSpirit Health, and she also has a very successful consultancy called Cornerstone Healthcare Advisors, and she specializes in CDI and revenue integrity, covers HCCs, coding, medical necessity denials, and so forth. So, Angela, welcome to the podcast. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Glenn.
So I've been talking to a lot of my colleagues recently about CDI and performance improvement. And what are your thoughts on what are the KPIs today? We kind of know what they are. Are they successful? Are they effective? Is that something that we should be focusing on, or what should be the preferred KPIs in your experience of over 25 years in the revenue cycle?
Sure. So, you know, it's interesting because there's, as you said, there's been a lot of talk about it. You know, when I look at KPIs, I look at two areas, right? You have your outcome metrics and you have your process metrics. So both of them are just as critical to monitor and manage as possible. So when I'm talking about our outcome metrics for coding and CDI, I'm basically looking at, you know, what are we creating from a financial and compliance impact? So that would be your CMI, your CMI shifts, your CC-MCC capture rates, your mismatch rates. I know some people do them, some don't. So our mismatch rates, as you know, is if a CDS has one DRG and the coder has another, that discussion takes place. We look to see why. A lot of times it's additional documentation. So again, working collaboratively to improve it. And then one of the other ones that we've really looked at from getting out of our silos and not just thinking about reimbursement, but truly thinking about the patient as a whole and how that record represents that patient, is our SOI and ROM. So we look at, you know, our DRGs, your top 10 to 15 DRGs, your CC-MCC capture rates, your CMI shifts, and the SOI and ROM for all of our patients, not just our mortality patients. So that's what I call the outcome metrics. The other ones that I think get left behind sometimes are, or that aren't really managed or monitored well, is what we call process metrics. And that would be your productivity. So coders, you know, the amount of cases they code in an hour. CDSs is their CDS initial reviews, plus their follow-up reviews, and then you have your queries. So what is the query percentage for your coders, your CDSs concurrently, and then your physician processes. So what percentage of the time are the physicians, number one, responding to a query, and then number two, responding with additional documentation? Some people call that agreement rate. I have stayed away from that term because it's really not about asking the physician to agree with us. It's a matter of, do they feel more definitive diagnoses or procedures is appropriate to add to the record? And then, of course, the no responses, and then your unable to determine. So those are what I look at, Glenn, as far as KPI metrics that are critical from both the coding and the CDI perspective of what we want to look at, measure, and monitor to see if we actually have a successful program. Does that make sense? Are you there, Glenn?
Oh, I'm back. Sorry, I put you on mute. How bad of me. So listen here. So what are your thoughts on when I was working with a CDI manager at a hospital in the Southwest, One of the things that we followed and I suggested to the CFO and she was all on board, what about tracking medical necessity denials, clinical validation denials, DRG downgrades, adverse level of care determinations, continued stay denials? What are your thoughts on tracking those? Because if you think about those, this is my argument, and I really like your expertise and your thoughts on this. The majority of medical necessity denials, and if you look at the CERT contractor's improper payment supplemental data report for this 2018, 2017, this is 2016, and so forth, there's a consistent theme. The majority of, and every year is the same in the report, majority of medical necessity denials are due to insufficient documentation. And if you look at this year's, 8.1% improper payment rate, $36.2 billion paid in error, this is for all of fee-for-service, not just hospital. 78% of the improper payments were due to either medical necessity or insufficient documentation, and to me, they're one and the same. And if you look at just Part A, short-term acute care PPS, 87% of the 4.3% improper payment rate for the hospital setting, Part A, which was $5.1 billion, 87% was due to medical necessity and or insufficient documentation, also known as poor documentation. So I think that's, to me, that's a logical place to measure our success in improving the quality and enhance the value of communication, because we should be getting less denials. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, and that's a great point. So I would say for Common Spirit Health, the last year and a half to 2 years, and for a couple of years before that in my own practice, one of the things that I've really worked hard on is trying to change the mentation of what our CFOs and our CDSs and our coders and CMOs really think a CDI program is. And get out of our silos. We cannot just think at it. You know, years and years ago, you know, any of us old dogs, excuse me, that have been around for 20-plus years.
Well, I've been around that long, too, yeah.
It truly was a DRG reimbursement. But this is about compliant, complete documentation. And
it is.
If we do that, and that's why, you know, no more just reviewing Medicare records. Me, personally, the ultimate program is every single patient that comes in gets a review concurrently, because all patients should have the highest definitive diagnoses and procedures and completeness in their record. Because, you know, I mean, yeah, when you look at the medical necessity, I mean, and that's a whole nother couple of hours to discuss about. But
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What we've done is, you know, a lot of quality work and denial work was done retrospectively. So we have collaboratively now worked with our quality nurses, our case managers, and URs. And we actually, so all of our case managers and UR have access to that working DRG that gets posted by our CDSs, so that they have accurate length of stay, because one of the biggest problems is they're never really taught how to truly assign compliantly a DRG. And a lot of times it's not correct, so that length of stay isn't correct.
Right.
And then, you know, when we look at medical necessity, and again, I have the utmost respect for our coding staff. They're brilliant, but on writing a clinical response should be written by a clinician, whether it be a nurse trained in it or a physician, because, again, they're clinical denials for that medical necessity. And so we're working with our ED docs. We're working with our hospitalists. We're working with our we have an internal group of physicians that review cases, you know, for appropriate admissions, and educating them on what is necessary to be documented to get a patient appropriately admitted and cared for in-house. And we're hoping, again, you know, that we're going to be able to start to decrease at least our medical necessity and our status patients. Because
that's right. Absolutely. That's the model that I ascribe to. So, you know, you're on the right track. You and I agree together that it's not necessarily the number of charts reviewed per se, because you can just touch a chart and say, I reviewed it. It's, did we have an impact? And that's why I'm a firm believer that case management, physician advisor, UR, denials and appeals, and physicians really should be working together as one with a unified message, not the silo approach that
right.
measures how many records we reviewed and how many queries we left, because at the end of the day, that those tasks are negated by the fact that we don't get paid fairly, or we don't get paid at all for
right.
care, or we have many observation cases that may have been inpatient with more robust, not more documentation, more effective documentation. And I want to just close with one thing, if you don't mind, Angela. Where do you see the industry going in the next couple of years? Do you see any? I'm convinced that we're still too focused on reimbursement, which should be a byproduct of solid and effective documentation. So, do you see the industry changing? What is it going to take to change the industry's or the profession's focus upon CCs and MCCs? You know, one thing that was concerning to me was that all the changes that were proposed in the proposed IPPS rule, where Medicare was going to make, 1,482 CC-MCC changes, and 87% of them were related to taking away CCs or MCCs and either making them no CC or taking major Cs and making CCs, or taking CCs and making them no CCs, the impact was going to be dramatic. Then we have less CCs or MCCs that we go fishing for.
Yeah, and you know, and again, this is where when I hear that, you know, and we've all heard this, you know, dialing for dollars.
Yeah.
I really think it's up to all of us, all of our vendors, and I do believe, and I've worked with almost every vendor out there for coding and CDI, mm-hmm. they are definitely starting to get out of that silo and have quality measures incorporated into their tool. They're having, you know, case management tabs that they can get into. To me, because honestly, it still comes down to the physician. And so what I think we have to be very thoughtful in is, what is our messaging to our physicians that they understand this is their responsibility, so that we're sure from a patient safety perspective, from a resource-intensive support perspective for their prophy or whatever they do, their consulting, that they need to document as complete as possible and consistent, so that their patient gets the best care, decreases any chance of error, and guess what? Your profile looks good, the hospital's profile looks good, and by the way, we'll also get paid so we can get that new tool that you want in surgery or whatever. But I think it's, you know, we really have to be careful, because we're just such old dogs on some of this, and our CFOs help that out, is like, you know, we need the dollars. We're behind. We've got to get revenue. And we all understand that, but the beauty of this program, this is why I love it. It's so immediate on a return on your investment, from a compliance, from a decrease in denials, from a improved in quality scores, from reimbursement, if we just get the documentation.
That's right.
As complete, consistent, and concise from our providers. And that's, we need to show it as a collaborative front with everybody working together, stop the finger pointing, and just get on the workhorse and get going.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to add before we close is one of the points I make with CFOs, it's not about the gross case mix. It's about the net patient revenue. Now, you know, that's something you focus on in your consultancy, net, you know, revenue integrity. So focusing not necessarily on the number of charts and queries, but the quality is where your return's going to be. And I think, one last message, and get your thoughts on it, is we should be measured not only on gross case mix index, or what we call CMI. We should be measured performance-wise based on net case mix index, which means to me, one CFO recently said, how do you define that? And I said, well, we take our case mix index for, let's say, August, July, because August we may have some stragglers for coding, okay? And we take our July's case mix index and we subtract or we back out all the denials we got from medical necessity retrospectively and all the clinical validation denials and DRG downgrades, and we come up with a net figure. That's the measurement of success, because we can say that all DRG downgrades or clinical validation or medical necessity denials we agree with. But mm-hmm. on the other hand, if we got a denial and we didn't, and we weren't able to appeal, or it took us a long time to appeal because Medicare has 5 levels of appeal, we shouldn't get credit for that, saying we increased the case mix when we didn't do it, when we had an outcome that wasn't what we thought. It's almost like a grocery store taking a check. The customer gets what they needed or what they wanted, whether it's a basket full of meat or whatever. The store, or the, say if it's a small store, the owner doesn't get necessarily what they're expecting, the full amount of the check, because the check could be no good. So right. We have to really take a look at our KPIs and adjust our performance based on changing of our processes to really drive improvement. Any last thoughts, Angela, before we wrap up?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, and this is, I think, for further discussion, Glenn, is the other thing I think we completely forget about is in our findings or in our DRG downgrades, or, what are they always denying, what do we win in our denials, is that we've got to be very aggressive in taking that information and taking it back to our payers and renegotiating our contracts. Because, again, I think that gets forgot about. You've denied this DRG this many times, and it's been turned over. We need to get in our contract that these are the clinical indicators in the treatment to justify
that. That's right,
that.
Absolutely that.
And we I think that's a whole other discussion that I really don't think a lot of our experts that are in the trenches doing this convey that to our contract people.
No, it don't. When that's what Heidi Hillstrom, who's in Duluth, Minnesota, she and I talked on this Top Gun Audit School coaching webinar yesterday about how she gets involved in that. So, Angela, I really appreciate your time. Your insight is just wonderful. Continue the fight and the good work out there in California.
Thank you so much for the invite. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. Thank you very much.